Another thing, you want to know your Bible. It says that the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him, that is to this Shiloh coming, shall be the obedience of the people. This is Christ prophesied to come all these thousands of years prior to his birth. And it's a marvelous thing that God has done. And we as Christians, this is what this season is all about. It's not about the malls. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the money. It's not about the economy being good or bad. It's not about the ratings. It's not about any of that. Oh, my friends, if you can just sense with me in your very heart of hearts what God is attempting to say to the churches, you would know how beautiful it is. Just beautiful. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's go there. I just want to spend a little time here. This is a good time. I'm having a good time. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 16. It's good for us to spend some time in our Bibles. Just let PJ talk to you a little bit. Some of you know me personally. I wish you was here. But since you're not here, that's all right. You there, I'm here, I'm still going to be talking to you. You should see my neighbor's house across the street. It's got so many lights on that house that look like, my goodness, I'm looking at a city from a jet plane 30,000 feet with all the lights around that house. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Look at verse 8. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture from following the sheep, that you should rule over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies before you. And I will make you a great name, like the names of the great men who were on the earth. And I will also appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again. Nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly, even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord who declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. Now you have to look at this and you have to say, what did he mean by the Lord making a house? Keep reading. When your days are complete, you will lie down with your fathers, and I'll raise up your descendants after you. Look at this prophecy coming. The prophecy is coming. And then he says, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, who is the his that he's talking about that's going to come through the loins of David? Look at this. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And then he says, and I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the Son of Man. He's talking about Solomon here. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him. As I took it away from Saul, I will remove it, whom I removed before you and your house. Now look what he says to David, because he was talking about his son Solomon coming after him to build him the temple. But then he says, and your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. How was that? You may be saying, there ain't no throne over there in Jerusalem now. Oh, yes, it is. It's established forever. And if you knew anything about the Christ and why he came and the historic ramifications of that, you wouldn't be so quick to say, this is nothing but a fairy tale. Go to Isaiah chapter 7 with me. Isaiah chapter 7. Oh, yeah, you know where I'm headed. Verse 14. You know, we do this every year. And why do we do it? I think it's important to do it because so much mess has happened since the last season that we need to spend more time in the Bible. Let the church say amen to that. All right, because the actual prophecy, when it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, you shall call his name Emmanuel. This is repeated also in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. So there are no contradictions in the scripture. Look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Just turn a few pages over. You're following with me. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders." We believe that to be Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God, God in the flesh. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe that. That's all right. That's up to them to come to that. I'm not going to waste my life and I'll waste my time trying to convince someone to believe like that. I believe that it is a natural cause for a Christian to believe that. But I think that due to what's been going on in the world these days, we've kind of gotten away from that. We want to get away from that idea. I believe that we should return to it. Now, let's move on down to the historic fulfillment of this prophecy, because the prophecy that was given in the Old Testament had to be fulfilled in the New Testament. If it's not fulfilled, then we're liars and we're, you know, just a joke, just sitting around waiting on something to take place. So we have to go to the beginning of these things. And the beginning of these things that I'd like to take you to would be Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, that is, engaged to Joseph, before they came together," in other words, before sex, before intercourse, before, you know, maximizing the union as husband and wife, "she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Now, I know a lot of folk in different religions read that and they say that's impossible. You go ahead. I don't believe anything is impossible with God. I really don't. As a Christian, I think that all things are possible to those that believe. That's what it tells me. Look at verse 19. "Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her," because the law back there in that date was that when your woman that was supposed to be married to you came up pregnant and you know you didn't make her pregnant, you could be the first to stone her. But Joseph, being a godly man, had in his mind that he was just going to put Mary away. "Well, I'm going to put this young girl away because she got out there and sowed some wild oats and laid down and pulled her panties off, but I don't want her dead." I mean, that's what he was thinking. He was a good man. Not going to try to make it any other way. He didn't want to disgrace her. He desired to put her away secretly. "But when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." I love that. Whenever you think you got your mind made up to do something and God has a different plan for the salvation of the whole world, check this out, friend. He got a way to do something. "In a dream, the angel said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife.'" Now, it doesn't mean to be afraid like she's going to do something to you, like some of these guys are afraid to marry women. In other words, don't be fearful of the shame that may come on you if you take a woman that's pregnant and it's not your baby. See, the angel had to rest his heart, "for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." In other words, heavenly intervention has taken place. I know my Muslim friends don't rest too well with this, but he again, I just got to say this, that's your problem, not mine. Heavenly intervention took place. And look what the angel says, "and she will bear a son," not a daughter. Ladies, you can trip on that with your feminine selves all you want to, a son. I like that. "She'll bear a son, and she'll call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." The angel, very specific with this language, making it very clear. Why did he come? He came to save people from their sins. Now, all of this took place, verse 22, all of this took place that what was spoken of the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold," see, they're going back to another scripture and telling you, you know, about what was said prior. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means "God with us." See, this was a relational event here. God will be with us when he comes in the form of Jesus. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife. See what he did? He didn't question nothing. He didn't do what we would do. Oh, no, now who you been with? I thought you said you love me. Uh-huh. I recall my wife and I, and most of you know my wife passed away. We were married 34 years. But, you know, we had discussions prior to us getting married about who, you know, well, did you sleep with anybody? And, you know, I ain't going to lie. I was no virgin, nor was my wife. Doesn't mean that we were ultimately scandalous people. I would hope that I would come up as a virgin and never, but I didn't come up that way. I didn't come up that way. I was a sinner, all defiled, just as my wife was. And so we had this discussion about the people that we slept with. And we didn't have to ask each other, were we still attracted to the person? See, and that's what happens when you sleep with people. You know, you sleep with someone, oh man, I slept with 15 women, but that was the best woman I ever slept with. You know what? I know what you're talking about because I've had something like that. But you know what? We need to forget that because that's strictly from the dark side. I'm telling you, because that'll tear a marriage up in a minute. In a minute. I was talking with a person recently, and they were telling me that they had two women. And I told the person, I said, you know, and I'm not going to tell you what not to do. You're old enough to know what not to do. You go ahead with this. You're playing Russian roulette. And when you're going to find yourself laid out there, you're going to remember this conversation. Then I said, now let's change the subject, man, and go on with it. See, I don't preach to people that know better. I don't do it anymore. All this, oh, well, you know what the Bible says, my brother. Wait, you may not be my brother. Stop playing that game. Look at verse 25. And he kept her virgin. Do you know what this is saying? Joseph did not have any kind of sexual intercourse or relation with Mary after that angel spoke with him. That's what it meant in verse 25. And kept her a virgin until she gave birth. Do you know what this until she gave birth implied? For you Catholics that believe that she was an eternal virgin, it implied that after she gave birth, that she had normative husband and wife relations with Joseph. That's what that means. Now you got to look at the Greek, look at it the way it is in the tense, the mood, and the voice. That's what the implication is in the original Greek. Mary did not remain a virgin. I'm not going to argue with you. I don't have to argue with you. I know what I'm talking about. And obviously, if you're arguing with me, you don't know. There it is. And the verse says she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus. Okay? In other words, the incarnate second person of the Trinity, Jesus. That's the name she gave. Why did she give that name? Because the angel of the Lord told Joseph that that's what you're going to name that baby. And they followed God's instruction. Isn't this wonderful thus far? You know, we find these people just following God arbitrarily. That's wonderful. Well, you know, we're going to break off from the Bible study a little bit because Pastor Zarek's just called and we were having a discussion about Christmas itself. Zarek, how you doing tonight? I'm doing fine. Listen, just want to ask you a few questions. So, all right, you're getting ready for Christmas, right?
Right.
Decorating the house and all that stuff?
Decorating the house, man.
You got kids. How many kids you got?
I have six total.
You have six children.
Right.
Well, don't you think you're feeding into Satan by decorating the house and putting up all these devil images of the wicked Satan Santa and since the